It's one of the first things that we learn how to do.
It's one of the most natural interaction mechanisms that we have.
It's how I talk to my dog.
It's how I secretly talk to his cat.
It's what we're doing right now. And the subject of today's show, speech.
I'm Mike Talty.
And I'm Andrew Spooner. Welcome to Context, a show about the right experience on the right device at the right time.
Roll the credits.
So we decided to call the show Context because the way that we're interacting devices these days has fundamentally changed. There are so many new methods of interaction that we can take into account, and that sometimes these things are thought of as maybe having a sci-fi sense of wonder, where we really want to aim to dispel some of those myths and make you realise that they're quite easy to actually implement into your applications.
Okay, so the first show here is about speech. And we're going to look at different aspects of speech, both recognizing speech and speaking, having machines speak. And, you know, I think we see increasing use of this. I think for the longest time, we've been having things where you have things like automated phone lines, where I phone my bank and you get into that thing of press one for this and press two for that, and it can be quite frustrating. But I notice over recent times that those systems are increasingly having a sort of interface which is, tell me what you want to do today. And then it tries to route you intelligently through the system. So that seems to be growing quite a bit at the moment.
Yeah, it is. And I suppose that's something I'm quite happy to do when it's if I'm in the comfort of my own house or home. There's still somewhat of a social stigma around talking to a device in public.
Yeah, I mean, when you also see this, you know, we see the rise of the personal assistant. We see Siri, we see Google Now, we see our own assistant Cortana. And those things, I think, are really interesting, but there's still an aspect of being in the street and shouting, hey, Cortana, into a phone. And maybe I think personal assistants are perhaps big enough that we could put them into their own show and we could have a separate show about personal assistants.
Yeah, it's a massive area. So, yeah. So we'll cover that separately. So today really is about speech, about text-to-speech, speech-to-text, and recognising people's voices, recognising individuals from the way that they speak. Again, that's the sort of thing that we thought was, if I look back to films such as 2001, Space Odyssey, the notion of HAL and being able to talk to a computer and for it to recognise a person's voice. That's very real and very possible now, and that's a little bit frightening in some aspects.
Yeah, but you know, there's commonplace scenarios where we've just got used to it. So we don't think anything now of things like sat-nav. You know, we all drive around in cars that just talk to us. You have some kind of system in there, whether it's your phone or whether it's a built-in system. It just talks to you and you're quite used to it. Mm-hmm. And coming back to the theme of the show, really, it's that thing of the context. Because in the car, you don't want some kind of modal dialogue on a screen over here that you can't deal with. You want to be able to have, speech is very natural. Your hands are occupied, your eyes are occupied. And so why not use speech? And we've all got really used to it in that kind of scenario.
Yeah, and I suppose the most recent, I think we've had voice control in cars for a long time, but the recent advances really are being able to naturally interact with the car, as opposed to saying, CD, skip track. You know the way you have to really talk to the car, maybe like it's been a naughty dog or something. You've got to
car on.
Exactly, things like that. Oh, cool. I have this one where I say, cool, when I'm calling my wife, she's in my phone as sweetheart. So I have to go, call sweetheart. And it just takes some of the emotion out of why I have that name for her as well.
Yeah, and you know, and we've seen it in other places where we've seen it in things like, I guess the Xbox One was a good example of a voice controlled device, Xbox on, Xbox off, that kind of thing changing. The TV channel on the Xbox One and that sort of thing. We're getting increasingly used to talking to devices.
Yeah. And there was some funny trolling that happened around that there's first off the advert on TV.
Yeah, with Aaron Paul, right?
That's it. Yeah. He said Xbox. Well, you could demonstrate he could turn your Xbox off using voice control, and suddenly everyone's Xboxes went off during the advert. Yeah. And there was the guy who was there trolling video games with his gamer tag was Xbox off okay. So he'd go around annoying people and they'd talk to him, hey, Xbox off okay. And there's loads of, go search for it on YouTube, it's hilarious to watch. Then loads of people going, no, I didn't mean that, as their Xbox shuts down. So there's pros and cons to all of these things, I suppose.
It all depends on the context. So I suppose we should jump into some code demos, but before we do that, let's just go out and see what people make of this stuff using speech in the real world.
Yes, this machine.
Only when I've been developing.
Not that I remember. No.
I have said thank you to it.
Say thank you to things like the cash machine when it gives me money.
Not the need, but I suppose I am, just because it's nice to be respectful, isn't it?
I'm usually impolite to machines when they don't do what I want. So.
No, and in fact, I think because it's still early days and the accuracy is still not great.
I think it was one of the ticket machines in Germany.
Siri.
Probably my car.
Find a location, so it maps.
Finding something like a restaurant near me.
No, I suppose I've always been a bit discreet.
No.
People look at me weirdly anyway, so.
Must have been my wife.
Not yet.
Within the last year, yes, the speech recognition has got a lot better.
It depends on your situation and what you're asking them to do.
Accuracy. It's when that input method becomes better than the old input method.
Social acceptance of it. So when you're out and about in public, saying things like Siri or OK Google, it's not greatly socially acceptable yet.
Okay, so let's drop into Visual Studio and start to bring up some code. What I've got here on my machine is a project that I've built in C#. It's a Windows 10 Universal Windows platform application. So the only reference in my project here is to Universal Windows. And if we run this up, and just whilst I'm running it up, I'm just going to ask Andrew if you wouldn't mind slipping on these headphones that I've got available here on the desk.
Thank you.
And let me run this up. And maybe you can start to speak to the application as it pops up on the screen.
Let's start with a little bit of my favourite Shakespeare. But soft, what light from yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun. Arise, fair sun, and kill the envious moon.
That was beautiful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And it's not doing a bad job of recognising what it is you're saying.
So if I can keep on talking there, it should recognise all of the words that I speak.
It's not doing badly, is it? So we essentially got free-form dictation, where we're not telling it any sort of guidance around what you're trying to
Please,
say.
Do get on with it.
Okay, obviously it also wants us to get on with it, and so maybe we'll shut this down at this point and look at how it's built. But you get the idea as to what we do, just free-form speech dictation there, really. If we drop into the code, let's just look at the relevant parts of this. I'm just going to open a simple code behind file here. We should say that for the show, all the code that we've got on the screen at any time is all going to be on GitHub, and we'll give you the links at the end. So let's just scroll down a little bit here, because we're using two classes from the Windows 10 Universal Windows platform. The first one here is Speech Recognizer. You can probably guess what that does. So we create one of these things up here, and we set a few parameters around how long it waits for you to speak and that kind of thing. I don't like to say that you babble, but this is the babble timeout. Initial silence, end silence. And then really, with this Speech Recognizer, what you can do is you can do two or three things. You can make an API call that just says, recognize some speech for me now. You can make an API call that says, recognize some speech for me now with a standard piece of UI to let the user know that you're recognizing their speech. Or what we're doing here is we are actually using this thing called a continuous recognition session. So we're saying we want to continuously recognize what you're saying. And it does two things for us. One is it generates hypotheses, where it thinks it knows what you're saying. And one is it generates results. And all we do is we have to wire in two event handlers. And you'll see it's dead simple. So on hypothesis generated, you get passed an argument, and in that argument is just the text of what it thinks you said. Simple as that. And the same is true for the result. So when the result comes through, you get passed an argument, and guess what? In that result is the text of what it thought you said. And that's all we do to code that up. The speech synthesis side of it, it's kind of similar, really. If we just scroll down, you'll see that what I'm doing is, fundamentally, I'm creating a new speech synthesizer. On my machine, I asked it to find all the voices. I made a preference and said, find the first female voice, but if there isn't one, we'll go with whatever the default voice is. So we just chose a female voice there. And then whenever we want to say something, I've just got this function here with some text. So that comes in, and we say speech synthesizer, synthesize that text into a stream, and that gives you a stream you can just play with a media element. And so we play that back. And then we go around recognizing, and every now and again, when it detects you're not saying very much, it says something to try and prompt you to carry on and speak. Simple as that. So speech recognizer, speech synthesizer, not really too much to getting that freeform kind of dictation working there.
And the magic of what's going on here as well is that that's all happening on this device. We're not having to go elsewhere in order to calculate any of this speech recognition.
No, exactly. And because it's Windows 10 UWP, that will work on a phone. It will work on anywhere that you've got the UWP. Now, of course, it's not necessarily that many scenarios where you want to recognize everything that somebody's saying. So it might be quite nice if we could guide this down a little bit to steer what we're actually looking for. And let's look at that in a follow-on demo. Okay, so what we showed in that first demo is great if you're on the Windows 10 Universal Windows platform, because you can do all that work on the device. But you might want to do that work elsewhere, and you might be on other platforms. And so up at Project Oxford, which is a sort of custom use of Azure Cloud Services to provide RESTful APIs for doing things like natural interaction techniques, and specifically here, speech recognition and speech synthesis, we've got APIs up there that we can use to do that kind of work in the cloud. And so we've built a little Android application, which we've got just running on the phone here. Andrew, I don't know if you want to try and do the same sort of demo on that Android phone as we were doing a minute ago.
I can do it more as a RADA, what's it called, interview. What soft, what light from yonder window breaks. It is the east, and Juliet is the sun. Arise, fair sun, and kill the envious moon. I've forgotten the next bit.
I think that's okay.
So got me in.
It's cool. I mean, so we can see that similar to what we saw on the Windows device doing the work on the device, we're now doing the work through the cloud, and the effect is pretty much the same thing, really. I don't think you wouldn't notice really too much difference.
No.
That's all done through Project Oxford's REST APIs. You can go and sign up for use of those APIs for free. You don't have to put in any credit card or anything like that. There is a usage cost once you hit a certain number of calls, like thousands of calls, but just to get going and playing, you don't have to pay anything. And let's just have a look at the code that one of our colleagues, Lillian, built to put this application together. So if we just drop into Android Studio here. So you can see that what we've done, we've altered our manifest to make sure that we've got access to the microphone on the phone, of course. We've also gone ahead and brought in the Project Oxford SDK, so you can download an SDK that works for Android, just like you can for other platforms. So we brought that in here, and essentially we've just written one activity, so an Android activity here, which implements this interface that comes from Project Oxford iSpeech Recognition Server Events. The key bits of code in here, if we have a little look at where we create things, we do a few bits and pieces here with picking up some UI controls, which we won't worry about too much at the moment. But if we come down and just have a look at where we initialize this recognition client, what we've got is, here's our subscription key on the screen, so we'll have to change that at a later point. But we make this call to Speech Recognition Service Factory, create microphone client. So this is a Project Oxford call that we're making. And we tell it about our own activity. We tell it about the recognition mode. In our case, we're using what they call long dictation at Project Oxford to keep going for quite a long time. We tell it the language, which you can see is just British English, and we pass it the key of the subscription. And from there on in, it's a little bit like what we saw on Windows. You get sort of hypotheses and you get fully recognized results. So when we get a hypothesis back from the cloud, we get a call here onto our activity on the interface, partial response received, and we put that into the box on the top of the screen. And then when we get a final recognition result here, we see we get this final response received. And through that comes the response that we get back from the cloud. And you can see that we're taking one aspect of that, which is the display text. You also get back some other different formats of text that you can use back from the cloud. So it's a little bit more capable there than what we saw on Windows 10. You get some other formats back from the cloud, but we're just taking the display text and putting it into the box on the bottom of the screen. So fundamentally, this is the same demo as what we built on Windows 10 with UWP, but we left the device calling APIs that are RESTful at Project Oxford. They're cross-platform, you can do them from any device. And the end result is kind of the same thing, really. Okay, so let's look at a slightly different demo. We've built a really sort of simple, basic game. And again, this is built on Windows 10 and the Universal Windows platform. And what we're going to try and do is start guiding that speech recognizer a little bit. So, Andrew, if you can don the headset of Doom again, that would be great. And I'm going to spin this up here and just run it in the first instance. I don't want to say the word, but you should be able to guide this rocket to the spaceship by...
Launch. Right. Right.
Whew. Oh. There's a pause where...
Have I got one or two spaces to go?
I think you've got two more spaces to go. I think you've gone too early. Maybe not.
Right.
You've achieved the mission. You've managed to guide the spaceship to the Death Star.
Thank you.
By just saying launch and left and right. And it's just an example of how we've guided the speech recognizer now. So it's only looking really for three terms. And when it's only looking for three terms, it can get it right pretty much most of the time. You know, it's very, very accurate. If we have a look at what that looks like in terms of the code here, let's just shut this down and pop into a little piece of code. And if we scroll down, let me just minimize this for you so you've not got too much stuff showing on the screen. You can see here that once again, we create a speech recognizer like we did before. But one thing I missed in the previous demo, I didn't really touch on it at all, was that we have this method here where we call speech recognizer compile constraints. And there's different kinds of constraints you can use. In this scenario, all we are doing is we add a thing called a speech recognition list constraint. And I've got some constants here for launching, lefting, and writing. And that's kind of all it's got. So it's only listening for three words. And then this time around, as I said previously, we don't always have to use continuous recognition. Here, we're using a distinct call and saying, recognize it for me asynchronously. And it gives you back a response. And what we do here is we check the confidence. It gives you a confidence value. I'm pretty confident that Andrew is saying launch in this case. And then ignore that code for just 1 second. We simply get the result as a piece of text. So it simply says, Andrew said launch. That's all we got with a high confidence factor. So very easy to use. We've got another mode, though, here in the code. If we have a look at this grammar file over here, this grammar file is a little grammar that I knocked together. It's an SRGS grammar, if I remember right, speech recognition grammar syntax. It's an open standard for speech recognition. It's a very simple one. So here we say we've got some commands which can be launch or move. We've got some options around launch. And then move takes the form of move the rocket left or right. So now it's move the rocket left or right. We've got some conditional compilation in here. So if we jump into our code again, let's go right to the top of this file and just uncomment that conditional compilation. Let me run this back up. Now you should be able to say move the rocket left, move the rocket right. Let's see if that works.
Oh, this is an easy one. Launch. So if I say left, he's not going to move.
I'm hoping not.
Left. But if I say move the rocket left.
Bingo.
Move the rocket left.
I think we're on a healthy trajectory towards there's nothing left to do.
I could be an astronaut.
It's game over. We've got the NASA t-shirt for it. We're all set. Come dressed for the show. So then we moved into this move the rocket left and right. And let me just show you how the code looks for that, because all it is we add a different kind of constraint. So you'll notice that just down here in this conditional compile code, we load up that grammar as a storage file from the applications folder. We add a different kind of constraint, a speech recognition grammar file constraint based around that grammar file. And then we compile up our constraints. We go around a loop, recognizing asynchronously. But this time around, there's a little bit where you have to reach into the result you get back. Previously, we just got some text. This time around, you get a sort of a path that tells you which of the rules in the file were just hit, and if there's any parameters that come back out, you know, it passes those back to you as well. So we say, was it the launch rule or was it the move rule? Those are our two rules. And then if it's the launch rule, we don't need to do anything else. But if it was the move rule, we go into this thing here that we call semantic interpretation, and we try and extract, was it left or was it right? And you'll notice here, this thing called action corresponds back to this thing in the grammar over here, if I just show you where we do out.action. So that's what you're trying to grab from the grammar, saying, did he say left or did he say right? And so that works quite nicely. Now, the last thing we've got in this demo, if we run this back up, is rocket ships should not just be launched arbitrarily, as I'm sure you know, working at NASA.
No, of course. So
what we've got is a secure mode of launching here. So I can switch on secure launch. I can say it's Mike, the chief rocket operator. Now, ideally, when you launch here, let's see what happens.
Launch. Launch? Oh.
So if I, this is the secure launch protocol we wandered into here. So if I close this dialogue and you try repeating that phrase, you can get in without your password. You ready to go?
Yep. You can get in without your password.
No, sorry. Security check. No launch on that. Shall I give it a whirl and see if I can do it? It is my rocket after all.
Yeah, fair enough.
Let's give it a whirl. Put these on. Launch. You can get in without your password. The rocket ship launches. It is my rocket ship. I think I should be able to launch my own rocket ship.
Yeah.
Now, what we're doing there is we brought in different APIs. We are actually talking to the cloud, and we're bringing in speech verification APIs from Project Oxford, which is an area where we've got intelligence services built on top of Azure. And so if you just have a look at what it does there, just briefly, when we get into a sort of secure launch scenario, I've got this little library, which you'll see in the source code on GitHub, that deals with talking to Project Oxford. And essentially, what we've got is three API calls really here. Project Oxford for speech verification supports a set of predefined phrases. One of them was, you can get in without your password. So we've got this API call where we go and make a RESTful call, getting all the phrases that Oxford supports, and we just pick an arbitrary one for the user. So we chose that arbitrarily. Then at the point where we want to verify the user, what we do is Oxford in the cloud identifies users with GUIDs. We prefer names, so I've got a little mapping on the device of GUIDs to names. So we just work out which GUID maps the name Mike that we select in that dropdown. And then we record the person speaking to a file. So we just record in a particular format, PCM audio format, the person speaking into a file. And then we send that GUID and that file to Oxford and we say, is this Mike? Is this the person you recognize with this identifier? And Oxford in the cloud does some crunching and comes back to us and says yes or no. And so we can actually verify, and we can also identify from a piece of speech who somebody is. And we'll look in the follow-on section of the show as to how we trained the cloud to make that happen. But quite a powerful thing to be able to recognize somebody from the voice alone.
It is, it is. And there's a ton of scenarios where you could be using that. Maybe it's not the only way that I would use to unlock a piece of code or to maybe launch a ship. I probably want to have another level of authentication in there as well.
Yeah, you might want to do something. And also it's interesting, and you know, people's voices change depending on whether they're tired or they've got a cold or something like that. And yeah, this may not work. And if I hold my nose, I know that this doesn't work. So, you know, you'd want something else, maybe an extra step of security as opposed to your only step of security. Yeah. But it's an interesting one.
It is. And again, this what these demos show is that this is actually quite simple to implement, and it's something that you can do now. So to think that you could add these type of speech recognition to your projects, you shouldn't be put off by thinking that this is stuff of science fiction.
No, it's all there. It's all available now. Okay, so this is a section of the show that we call Control Z or Undo, where essentially we have a bit of a look at some of the things that we didn't mention while we were showing demos. Demos are easy to show without always talking about everything that happens there. And some of the other things that we might have talked about, but we didn't get a chance to mention. And so I made some notes using my new note-taking app, Plumbago. Can I bring that on the screen and put the notes on?
Show me, Mike. Show it to me.
Let's do that. Let's bring this app onto the screen. Nice note-taking application, by the way. Using mostly pen, and I've got a book here for the context show, and let's navigate in here. And these were my notes of things that I thought we should at least talk about, some of the things that are in here. Yep. So first thing I said was think about the web a little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was something for me that when we're talking about using things such as Oxford cross platforms, then one of the platforms that we didn't think about really was web. And actually, it's one of the ones where it could be most useful as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's where you find, I guess, most users. And actually, it's usable from the web. If we go over to the Project Oxford website, I've got that in a browser somewhere here, so can I just tab over to that and let's have a look. And one of the nice things about the Project Oxford website is that all of the services can be demoed on the website, including some of the complex ones. They're all demoable on the website. So ideally, if I can pick on, I'm going to put these things on this time and try these out. If I just put these headphones on and try this, let's see. If I pop on headphones, click this button to start speaking.
And this makes so much sense for me because I think if I think about the things that I do on the web, actually filling in forms is quite a tedious activity. Or you've been asked there, weren't you?
Yeah, let me see if it can let me use my microphone in the browser here. And then ideally, as I speak into the browser, it should be recognizing my text just like The two clients we saw, the Android client and the Windows client, worked and recognized text on the machine. But we're doing this now through a web browser interface. And I think if we scroll down, I suppose I should probably stop speaking to this at this point. If I scroll down and just bob those back down there, we've also got the text-to-speech capability here. So I won't change the text. I'll just press the button.
Welcome to Microsoft Text-to-Speech Online Demo.
And that's Susan. And the voice Susan in English as British English speaking back to us from there. So we've got both sides of that, and we can do it from the web. Yeah. What's really nice, you can also play with it on the web.
Yeah, and there's so many situations, like I was about to say there before, whilst we're waiting. I mean, when it was asking for access to your microphone, we do that in applications anyway through the manifest.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the similar thing that's going on there. But if I think about the times when you're filling in a form and you click on something, it says enter date of birth. It'd be so nice to be able to say 1191. I'm not giving away my actual date of birth. But things like that. Where do you live, town of birth, and to be able to just say the town. Because also you've refining it to a fairly small list rather than having to listen for everything there.
Yeah, for sure. And so I think web's very applicable there, and you can try out, it's really great to try out those APIs on the web. You don't have to go and build a client, you can just try them out in a web browser.
I'd love to see some of that.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. Let's cross out the topic of web. Let's get rid of that. We've done that. The next thing is something that we said we'd talk about, which we didn't talk about in the show at all, which is this thing called the Language Understanding Intelligence Service.
That's the one.
Lewis to its friends.
Yeah.
Should we switch to Oxford's website again? So this is a service that we didn't use in our demos here, but Oxford does have another service where essentially the way I think of it is you're building a sort of language model, a sort of language model for your scenario. Maybe it's ordering a pizza or complaining about bank service or whatever it might be. And you can enter phrases that your users might use, and you can label them up in a sort of action intent kind of way to say this would be the intent of this phrase, and then you can put this behind something like a speech service and have it learn and evolve over time to understand the domain of what you're actually talking about. I suppose it's a bit like our grammar, but on steroids. It's got some intelligence and some learning around it, a service that we didn't plug in anywhere here.
Yeah, and as far as something that's going to grow over time with the more people that use your application, people are going to find that the experience of using it becomes better and better. It's a very powerful tool.
Yeah, and so again, you can go and play with that on the Oxford website as well and try that out if you're interested in that kind of thing. So we didn't plug that in, but we could have done. A couple of other things that I know we tweaked with and played with quite a bit as we were building some of those demos. I glossed over some of the speech recognizer settings. I said, hey, there's some timeouts, and you just tweak them a bit. We did tweak those quite a bit to get what we wanted to work, so that the recognizer wasn't waiting for a long time for speech to start and that sort of thing. So we played with those, and we just be honest about that. We played with those to get what we wanted working.
Sure, and this is more to be kind of like open about that we can make these things look very simple. And if somebody downloads them and starts to use them, they can think that maybe they've been tricked into believing it is actually one line of code. So just in some instances, there's a little bit of extra work that we've had to do in the background.
Yeah, and we know as well, we've got reasonable microphones and built-in microphones can give you different results. And, you have to play around with the environment a little bit. The more control of your environment, the better, I guess, it's going to work.
Yeah.
So we played with that a bit. And we also played a little bit with... we talked about the modes of speech recognition, continuous versus one discrete piece of speech.
Yeah.
And we found that for our dictation example, continuous worked really well. And we found for our controlling the spaceship example, discrete worked really well. And so we played with that a little bit. And I guess it's a natural way to use the APIs, but we did play with that.
Yeah.
And that was something we had a bit of fun playing around with.
I think it's something you just have to experiment with depending on the situation that you're trying to use this in.
Yeah. And the last one I had here was... when we were using Project Oxford for speech, and pretty much everything we did for the recognition and so on and that kind of stuff, they have a really nice, just a NuGet package that you install and it makes it really easy. And on Android, it was just the same. It's really easy. But when we were doing the demo with speech identification, where we're saying, let me launch the rocket ship in a secure way, there's no nice wrapper I'm aware of at the moment for the raw REST APIs for that. So if people take the source code, they'll find that I built a sort of basic wrapper myself, which on Windows involves recording audio into a file at a particular format, and I played with that for quite a while, and then sending it off to Oxford. I'm sure that they will build a nicer wrapper that makes that nicer than it is at the moment. But at the time if I wrote that code, that's kind of how it was. But it's there and it works and it's
there for everyone to use.
Yeah. Just don't send me any bugs.
Do we have links for these files as well?
Not only do we have links for these files, we have a whole section of the show dedicated to links for these files. Let's move off into that section.
Let's do that. And thanks for staying with us to the final section of the show, readme.txt. So in true developer fashion, this is where we use the readme.txt file in order to share with you some of the links to some of the things we've been talking about today. And this file can be downloaded directly from the GitHub repository.
Yeah, so if we just go into the browser here, our three links for the show, really. Dev.windows.com, where you can find out about developing for the Windows 10 UWP. ProjectOxford.ai for artificial intelligence, where you can learn everything about Project Oxford and all the APIs that they offer. And then, as Andrew said, for our code, you want to just go to github.com/mtalti, that's my name, /contextshow, and the repository there has all of the demos that we've shown you on the show today. So everything's in there, including a readme.txt file with those links that we just mentioned a couple of seconds ago.
And those same links are in the show notes down below there, where you can also leave comments. Let us know what you like about the show. Let us know what you would like to see more of. Let us know what you'd like to see us cover as topics in future episodes. And please also get in touch on Twitter.
Thanks for watching the show. We hope to catch you on the next episode of The Context Show.